John chapter 1, verse 47 to 51. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You will see angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, I grew up in the tradition of angels. I think it was inherited from the Greek influence on our culture, where everything that was transcendent or spiritual or unable to be visualized was expressed in the form of a person or a place. And so for angels, we had statues and holy pictures of handsome youths with long curls and fairy wings. Now, St. Michael was understood to be the warrior, God's warrior, one who set off to deal with evil in the world. Gabriel was the messenger of God, the one who came to visit Mary. And Raphael was the healer, God's healer. And these were all personified, except that Michael in his statue was dressed like a Roman soldier, hurtling the devils down to hell with a large spear or lance or something. So that's the way it was for us, for me anyway, when I was young. Angels were a reality. And then later on, we found out that angels, the mere word angel, meant message. And that what had been personified as people were messages from God. And messages came in all shapes and forms, not necessarily as Greek gods with fairy wings. Then angels sort of disappeared from our holy pictures. Angels disappeared from holding the candelabra in the church sanctuary. And times changed. Then angels came into fashion again, part of the new world, new era, and they became angel poems, angel bookmarks, angel things to wear around your neck or dangle from your ears, and they were pretty curly angels, just little ones, mainly, and the market seemed to be children. However, as we have moved on in life, we can see many messages from God in various shapes and forms. And so we see the people who work hard at healing in our society, nurses, hospice workers, doctors, specialists, research people, all in that ministry of healing. We see people sending messages. We receive messages in such a variety of forms that many of them must be divine and that they arrive just at the right time, or it's just a coincidence that you meet someone at a time when it's particularly significant for one or other party. And then we have Michael, that warrior of God, and I'm not too sure how he features in today's world where warfare is so unfortunate. There are so many people who are keen to minister to others, do good for others, where they are and as they are. And I'm sure That's the work of the angel Michael. In our day and age now, we've seen a surprising message. When Pope Benedict beatified John Henry Newman in England earlier in September, we've seen in the last decade or so a tremendous drift to the right in our church in so many different ways, in the changes in the liturgy, style of hymns, the way some people preach, and the sort of pictures and magazines that come out. And yet here is Pope Benedict being a messenger for us, beatifying John Henry Newman. Now, John Henry Newman's big message to the world was the primacy of conscience. This, too, was a message of the Vatican II Council, primacy of conscience. So as the church appears to be drifting back to right-wing values and attitudes, Pope Benedict is waving a flag for this other way of looking, a way of approaching our faith in which we seek the truth, we search for the truth in all avenues of life. John Henry Newman was a great advocate of education. He wrote a whole book on the role of the university. He could see the search for truth happening in universities among the education of the young, the research that was carried on, the scientific developments. For him, there was no discrepancy between science and religious faith. Both were seeking truth, and the one truth they were seeking ultimately was the Godhead. So the message Pope Benedict has been waving for me in the recent weeks is one to promote again that belief in conscience, that belief in the dignity of the person, that belief in the divine presence in each person. That's the one we serve as we go about our ministry of being messenger or challenger or healer. That's the one that we receive challenges or messages or healing from others. These are today's messengers, ascending and descending from heaven, rather than the statues and the holy pictures, except that every now and then it's salutary to remember these messengers as we celebrate the feast of St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. Also, we think of Nathanael, the one Jesus called, the one Jesus had seen under the fig tree, and a lot of the messengers that will minister to us, Jesus has also seen under some fig tree at some stage and knows they're the right people coming our way. Have a good day and a good week. Goodbye.